Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Good morning, KB.
Good morning.
How are you?
Yes, well, I think he'd better be near Saddleworth at the moment, which is being in Venice. He's going to get you hot weather.
Yeah, no, it's been very warm up here recently, KB. You, as usual, we're going to get through quite a bit in your interview. Let's start with some Leeds United. Marcelo Bielsa unveiled to the press a very lengthy opening press conference, KB, an hour and 20 minutes. But I think overwhelmingly, there's a lot of excitement about Bielsa and what he's going to be bringing to the club, his connections within football. And I think there is a lot of excitement from Leeds fans ahead of the season.
Well, there always is before kick-off, isn't it? But obviously, the owner has made considerable thought now, has made a change of direction. But we have had 13 managers in the last 6 years, 7 years, or whatever it is. And we now want stability and continuity. And that means the fans have to give the manager time. He doesn't speak English, I gather, or not very well. So that's going to give him a communication problem in the dressing room. The owner will have to indicate to the manager what his budget is for salaries and transfer fees and be very close to him. It's going to be like a partnership. And then on we go with it. Excuse me, cough. But I emphasise again, it takes time to build a club. If Leeds are going to return to where they should be, then you have to take the good with the bad and give the manager his backing. Hope all Leeds fans do that. I think 2020 rather than 2019.
Yeah, certainly an exciting time. There's no doubt about that. Transfer window is going to be interesting as well, KB. More football, of course. World Cup fully in swing. We're getting to the end of all of the group matches. Some interesting results coming out. Germany out of the World Cup, KB, losing to South Korea last night. Big shockwaves.
Yes, what interesting, of course, is that the number of times that the World Cup winners been knocked out of the qualifying rounds in the following World Cup. In fact, I didn't realise it until it was being publicised at length on TV the last couple of days. But nothing can be taken for granted, nothing certain. And you can't assume anything, because when you get a pitch, when you get on the pitch, it's 11 against 11. And reputations shouldn't matter. So, must say, I couldn't believe that Korean second goal. Thought all the rest of them got off for tea. But a goal is a goal, and Germany's out. And our young team, Southgate's attitude, is beginning to bring its rewards. Young, enthusiastic team, all wanting to play. Nobody in the squad is in the autumn of their career, relying on what happened the last 10, 15 years. And I think we might make progress. Myself, I'm looking at 2022. Any progress from now on is a bonus. And greater experience and encouragement for Southgate, his new boom, his new ideas, and the kids he's given a chance to.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting night, no doubt about that, KB. Let's move on. There's been, as ever, every week. Lots of talk about Brexit at the moment, and some of the rather big companies weighing in, KB, about what would happen if there's a no deal after March next year. Leaders are apparently calling for a bit of clarity over the trading position with the EU to put people's jobs, rights and livelihoods first.
Yes, lovely vague phraseology. When I see there's a meeting of CBR, the Small Business Association, this association, that association, all of which are, in effect, employers' trade unions. It makes you wonder how many of them have had any practical experience on the shop floor. And none of them have come up with any firm proposals of their own. You see these people, the pundits on TV saying, something must be done. You're quite right, what would you do? Well, I don't know, but something must be done. Or there must be a better way of doing it. You're right, what should we do? Well, I don't know. So that's those empty, vague statements of self-importance. I think the way to we've got to behave now is that, I mean, they're blaming the government for taking so long to achieve little. But you have to remember, it takes two to tango. And what you've had Garnier, with his bullying, and Schultz and Juncker, similarly, making empty threats. Do you remember, we will punish you for leaving. It's going to cost you £100 billion. Oh? And he's come down to 39, which is a figure Theresa May suggested. But I think now is the time, I've been giving this a long thought, when we should be saying, this is what is going to happen unless agreement is reached on any alternative. Firstly, I'll go through a few examples. Firstly, quotas on agriculture will be abolished on the 20th of March next year. So this is a heads-up warning for farmers. Start planning now. Start increasing your dairy herds, because we're going to buy as much milk off you as you can make for use. And the same with the fishermen. Start getting your boats out and painted and cleaned and rewired and whatever else is needed. Because on the 20th of March, no foreign fishing boats will be allowed in our waters. And to avoid the obvious dodges, I believe there are a few British registered boats owned by foreigners. They will be classed as foreign boats and not allowed to fish in our waters, nor will they be allowed to dock in our ports to land or even take on supplies. From the 20th of March, British waters will belong to the British. And we will not be importing any fish at all that inhabit British territorial waters. We will never be able to feed ourselves, clearly, but we've got farmers now who can now start producing far more food to feed the British. And then on the Irish border question, I said, well, we aren't going to have one. And we will take as much Irish food as they care to produce and send us. So we will protect the Southern Irish food industry, farming industry, as well as the Northern Irish. We will, however, operate a border at our ports. We will not allow anything into England via Ireland, only Irish goods, on condition, of course, that they take ours. That preserves the Irish peace agreements, preserves free border trade, allows our northern cousins, Northern Irish cousins, to continue to rebuild their friendships with their Southern Irish neighbours. However, we will not be a transit port for foreigners coming into Britain from Europe by the back door. Regarding European companies wanting to move their factories abroad, some of which is a lot of threats, that's fair enough. But we won't allow the stuff made abroad to be imported into England. So kiss your hands goodbye to the Mercedes and the BMWs and the Audis. And welcome to the Japanese, Korean, Malaysian cars. And immigration, be a total ban on immigration, other than by application or invitation. Now, this is the fact, the fuss about what's going to happen to EU citizens in the UK after we leave. The answer is very simple. Exactly the same as how under a UK expat living in Europe. They'll be tit for tat. If we assume we're all equal, then we will give our European expats same rights and conditions and regulations as the Europeans give to the English expats. And so it continues. They turned around and said, Garnier has turned around and said that, you know, we can no longer participate in this European GPS research. Okay? We'll stop paying for it. And since most of the technology has been supplied by GC scientists, we'll stop doing it. We'll do our own. Then Garnier, the idiot, has told the European air traffic controllers not to discuss post-Brexit plans with British air traffic controllers. Well, obviously the man is stupid, arrogant, but he's never done a day's work in the real world. He doesn't know what he's talking about. How are European airlines going to get to America if they're not allowed through British airspace? They better get there. They'll make a huge detour going around the north of Scotland, the south of the Scilly Isles. How is it going to affect European airlines? An Airbus who said they're going to close her. That's okay. But you can't. It's not like a shop. You shop a shot in Kidderminster, open one in two, lose the next day. You can't shut a factory that's specifically designed to build Airbus wings and open a factory in, I don't know, Dresden the next week. And if they're going to take the manufacturer away from Britain, okay, we won't buy Airbuses. We'll buy Boeings. Do a deal with the Americans as part of our foreign trade organisations. So what's France going to do with their spare milk and yogurt, because they overproduce it and dump it in England? We won't be taking it. What are you going to do with all their wine? Australia and New Zealand make lovely wine. And so does South Africa. And Chile. And California in America, as my wife quite rightly points out, before I got there. So that we can do without French wine. In fact, interestingly, Prosecco, Italian Prosecco, sales have overtaken French champagne. But, what do we hear from Wetherspoons? From next year, from 1st of January, they're increasing the sales of British wine. Now, for those who weren't around at the time, ancient Rome, when they conquered us in 55 BC, there were tremendous vineyards in the south of France because of the climate. In the last 20, 30 years, with global warming a benefit, vineyards have been on the increase, and people are planting more and more vines in south of France every year. South of France, south of England every year. So we're producing more homegrown wines. That will also reduce our needs for foreign wines, which in return will improve our balance of payments. So we should be now telling the Europeans what we are going to do. Since we haven't heard from you, instead of sitting on our backsides and you turning down every one of our proposals, we're going to reverse it. We're making our mind what we're going to do, and we're going to do it. And what's more, we're going to do it now. Unless you have any better ideas. That's us talking to them. And take heart, because there are dissensions within the EC itself, and they are growing. You now have Austria, Italy, Greece, all with problems of their own, and Romania, Hungary, Bulgaria. So, as I say, they have problems of their own. And they can't count. And we've been subsidising them for $70 billion a year and buying a lot of their products. We buy a lot more from them than they buy from us. So Mr. Garnier, particularly, but also Mr. Juncker and Mr. Schultz, better be careful of the old saying about cutting off your nose to spite your face. And no, we will not be contributing more to European defence until you Europeans pay your fair share. And no, we will not be sharing our technology with you free of charge in future. And if you want to be so stupid, say you're not going to cooperate with us and work with us together in Interpol, so be it. You're going to have far more crimes, including terrorists, than you've had so far, because we provide most of your intelligence. Because you Europeans haven't got as much intelligence and you don't work together. So we are now going to get on. Oh, and a little message to the NHS. Now that we don't have... Oh, this is the government talking. Now we don't have so much time to waste on European affairs, we're now going to examine the NHS more carefully. We wonder, do the NHS need all the middle management they've got? You often see them on TV pontificating. Don't quite know what they do when they're so-called running the business. We're going to examine the middle management. We're going to examine the purchasing boards. With too much money, is paid in too many different price ranges for the same products. There's too much waste and too mismanagement. Oh, and foreign visitors to the UK will not be allowed treatment in hospitals and that without proof of payment first. That's what we have to do in Europe and elsewhere. The same thing. And I believe I saw some surgeon saying it's not our job to collect charges. No. It's not our job to pay your wages either. Really, it's coming from. Let's get real. Let's get tough. Let's stop the adverts in hospitals of from no win, no fee lawyers saying, help us to sue your hospital in waiting room you're sitting in case you think you've had a bad deal. Now, let's get tough. About time. And then when we're not in the EC, we won't need as many civil servants, will we? Spending their life and careers talking to their vassals, counterparts, jumping on planes and trains for nice jolly. No, they'll all be out the window. And that means we can simplify our tax system, which means we should also be able to cut down the civil service more. And of course, if we're not having milk quotas, then we won't want pen pushers pushing little bits of paper around, allocating it, and checking that you haven't produced more than, and finding you if you have. Now we can have a nice, simple life. Simpler life. When we can get on making our country great again. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Europe and Mr. America, when you want to start your next wars in the Middle East, Mr. Blair, we're not going to copy Mr. Blair's stupid example. If you want to start a war in Iraq, Afghanistan or Syria, do it on your own. We'll be like most of the Europeans and sit back and watch, which will then reduce the number of people fleeing their own country. Maybe they should stay there and fight back, fight their own battles and sort themselves out. British for the British. That's the French attitude, French for the French. And Donald Trump's attitude is America first. And I'm afraid I agree with him. But I say, Britain first, instead of being the suckers to the world. Then we can get on improving our quality of our life and administration. We can cut the MPs down to from 650 to 600, with Clegg blocked. And we can start massively reducing the overpaid old age, retired, failed, civil servants, politicians, lobbyists, and those post their bedtime cocos. And as a golden rule, no civil servant should ever be made to attend the House of Lords. A civil servant is sometimes not too civil, but they are servants of the people. They must never become rulers of the people, which civil servants do if they get membership of the House of Lords. So let's cut civil service, let's cut the House of Parliament to 600, and let's cut the House of Lords 700. Maybe we'll get some work done then. Oh, of course, and cut out the tax-free perk of subsidised food and drink in the House of Commons and the House of Lords. Let them pay the same as the rest of us. Then I'll have a better idea what the cost of living is like. Right, Darren. Now let's tip back and take the abuse.
As ever, KB, it's always a pleasure, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Thank you. Bye.